So at Prana, we strongly believe that your body has a lot to do with even the relationships that you live, right? Not just with yourself, but even with your parents and with your siblings and with your brother or sister. I remember, like, you know, even before I turned 20, I had undergone 4 surgeries and I kept having this trauma that was being translated to my parents. So the whole idea of healthcare is not just for yourself, but also for your family members and also for the people around you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dimple Jangra. I'm your podcast host and I welcome you to A Gut Story. This is a podcast, a platform where we're going to discuss healthy everything. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy emotion, healthy energetics, and a healthy spiritual journey. We're going to also discuss stories of courage, grit, confidence, discipline, and patience that helped several people overcome tragic events in their life and physical trauma. And we're also going to learn from several natural sciences like Ayurveda, naturopathy, homeopathy, yoga, on how to reset our body back to good health and bring ourselves back closer to nature. Welcome to A Gut Story with yours truly, Dr. Dimple.
So you know what was happening during the whole treatment? It was centering you. It sounds yogic when I say that. It aligns your chakras. It brings it back in the place. At the end of the day, you're made of only 5 elements, which is called the Pancha Mahabhut in Ayurveda. It's earth, water, fire, air, and ether. You're only made of these 5 elements. We're not astronomical superpowers. We're only made of these. So what happens when you do these therapies is, it brings these elements, these doshas, into place. It vitiates the aggravated doshas. So say your vata is aggravated, or your pitta is aggravated, or your kapha is aggravated. It vitiates it back. Now, kapha is like a combination of earth and water. It can make a person very sluggish if it's aggravated in that person. It can make that person gain excess weight. Vata is air and ether. So when that gets aggravated, it causes restlessness of thoughts. So when does vata get aggravated? When you're taking too many flights, when you're having too many road journeys, or when you're having foods that contribute to vata, like potato, cauliflower, cabbage, brinjal. These vegetables cause excess vata in the body. So what Ayurveda does is, it basically brings the Pancha Mahabhut, the elements, into rest, into alignment, your chakras into alignment also. And most importantly, it vitiates the doshas. Once there is a sense of calm in the physical body, you actually have better, cleaner energy to focus on your mind, heart, and soul, and also your relationships. Does that work for you?
100%. I was reading a lot about this as well after you spoke about it. And in the past, in India, this is where Ayurvedic started, right? And when you look at how some foods are, like, I love the way the Gujaratis eat, because they eat the sweet as well as the hot together.
Yeah.
And a lot of the foods in South India have that Ayurvedic thing about them. And I miss that in the West. In the West, it's bland, 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 and a little more bland, right? with here, it's very different. So after me being a lot more aware of it, yes, there was a calm. My health changed immediately. Even when I travel now, 2 days before I stop eating meat, I only eat vegetarian, and it calms me down on the flight. I sleep better on the flight. So it has had a positive effect on me, but it also has a positive effect on people around me. It also had a positive effect on my business, on my personal relationships. It's had a positive effect right across.
Yeah. In fact, I remember going through your diet chart and advising you to stop everything that's refined, like refined salt, refined sugar, refined oil. And, you know, 40% of your kitchen ingredients is salt, sugar, oil, and the ghee, the butter. And once you change that, you'll notice a dramatic difference in your body, because that's earth and water. That's where your nourishment comes from. A big part of your personality also shifts based on the food that you eat. You become what you eat.
You told me that. Yeah. And I was very surprised about that.
So at Prana, we strongly believe that your body has a lot to do with even the relationships that you live, right? Not just with yourself, but even with your parents and with your siblings and with your brother or sister. In fact, I remember, like, you know, even before I turned 20, I had undergone 4 surgeries and I kept having this trauma that was being translated to my parents. So the whole idea of healthcare is not just for yourself, but also for your family members and also for the people around you. Have you noticed a difference in the way people around you are when you're healthier and when you're sick? Have you noticed a difference in your productivity levels?
I don't think I was sick as much as I was not attentive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference between being sick and being not attentive. I think being not attentive is also a form of sickness in itself, right? Especially in the world we live in. Nobody's attentive enough to other people's needs. I learned how to become a lot more attentive, not learned, but just became a lot more attentive because of how I was treated down there in your place.
Little gestures and signs around you, which you otherwise may not have noticed.
Yes, I wasn't completing conversations. I wasn't jumping into questions. I was listening.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing, right? I stress on this idea quite often when I meet my clients that, you know, this whole misconception that they have that Ayurveda is slow, Ayurveda may have side effects, Ayurveda may have metals and minerals. There are a lot of misconceptions that have been built over a period of time. Unfortunately, because of the kind of history that we've had, the colonial history that we've had, we've lost confidence in our own self, in our own heritage, in our own roots. How did it feel for you to go back to your own roots and heritage, considering you're actually from Kerala?
I loved it. I loved the fact that, you know, I'm definitely going to keep doing it because, and it's not, I didn't even know what Ayurveda was. I mean, at the very most, I went for an Ayurvedic massage, right? But now I understand it, I'm definitely going to do a lot more of it.
Did it feel like you were going back to your roots? Like it was a back to roots kind of a journey?
I think it's back to roots for all Indians. I mean, this is, you know, I heard they do more yoga in America than they do yoga in India, mm-hmm. right? They do more, they have more Ayurvedic farms or Ayurvedic, what do you say, retreats and things like that in America than they have it in India, right? It's become a luxury more than any, than a, it's always when people need to go away for 10 days, they go away and then they come back and they go back to their normal life. I think doing Ayurvedic treatments, maybe every 6 months or 9 months, I think it's 9 months you said, right?
Ayurvedic treatments, you can do it, it depends on the kind of sickness, yeah, once in 6 months or once in 12 months.
Yeah, so doing that is proactively keeps your health in check, keeps, you know, everything in check.
In fact, I remember you said this clever thing that, you know, the world is going in circles. And we're actually going back to our past. It's like going back to our roots and finding out who we are, where we come from, what we do. In fact, I keep stressing on this fact that, you know, if you don't have deeper roots, even the slightest wind can destroy you. And having roots means figuring out who you are, what your ethnicity is, or what your diversity is, or what your cultural roots are. Where do you come from? Where do your ancestors come from? Because language, food, all of this has a lot of intelligence in it about healthcare. Religion also has a certain amount of healthcare knowledge in it.
And I think with our diet in India, especially as Indians, we are very conscious about the amount of meat we eat, which is already a massive bonus, right? We're already very conscious about eating vegetarian food, which is a massive bonus. I think the youth of today, and I think us Indians, we would naturally take to Ayurveda compared to normal medicine and cure most of our situations. I think, as you said, you know, as I said earlier, that the world goes in circles, and I think we are finding our strength now. If you look at India, India is surging everywhere. And, you know, I've always been away from India, but I was always very proud of being Indian first and then everything else. But I think this Ayurvedic movement, the yoga movement, the Ayurvedic movement, it's going to catch fire. And the fact that you have such an incredible clinic down the road, it's clean. It's and that's the first thing I noticed, how clean it was, you know, in the city, and it works, and I love it.
And we also discussed one of your childhood events, like when you were born, you had an umbilical cord
around my neck. Yeah.
Do you now notice a connection between a childhood event and the fear that it generates and how it alters your life, and it can actually relate to disease, which has been at unease?
I suppose it has to be in your subconscious somewhere. To be so traumatized as soon as you were born, mm-hmm. right? And that maybe that trauma creates some sort of a subconscious decision-making that's not conducive most of the time, so.
Like not wanting to swim.
I swim, but I don't like to swim in anything more than 6 foot, as long as I can touch the ground.
Yeah, so you know, Ayurveda also has another branch, which is the psychosomatic wellness. There are 8 branches to Ayurveda: pediatrics, the gynecological, the general health. There's also psychosomatic wellness. There's also a surgical vertical. Did you know that cosmetic surgery was actually invented by Ayurveda 5,000 years ago?
I didn't know that.
So we had this discussion of how diseases have a psychosomatic origin. In fact, it's mentioned in the Ayurvedic text that all diseases have an origin in the mind. It could be a childhood event, it could be a traumatic event, it could be a fear that has been built up during your childhood and that translates into poor decision-making or anxious decision-making at a subconscious level. And that continues throughout your entire adulthood and an entire lifespan sometimes. And how has it affected your life?
I don't actually know how it affected my life, but I'm sure subconsciously it would have somehow played its part over the years. Because it's pretty traumatic, even before you come out, that you have a strangling effect on life, or life having a strangling effect on you. So I'm sure it does have, and now that you've talked about it, maybe it does, did have an effect over my lifetime subconsciously.
In fact, fear of swimming, right?
Fear of swimming. I don't like to swim in anything more than 6 feet, only because then I could keep my, I could feel the ground. Yeah.
So a lot of times what happens is the fear translates into other poor decisions, like, you know, you entirely avoid a certain event which could be beneficial for you, like fear of being choked or fear of drowning, you know. That translates into other events where you completely avoid swimming and avoid water and water bodies. And they have an amazing therapeutic effect on the body. We're literally shutting ourselves off to those effects, right? So we've discussed that, like how body has a mind 1:1 connection. What happens in the mind reflects in the body. What happens in the body reflects in the mind.
True.
Right? And you experienced all of that during those 8 days at a subtle level, maybe not at such a deep, but you experienced it at a subtle level.
Yes, I did, for sure. I mean, obviously, when your gut's getting cleaned out, right, and your gut brain is a lot more in tune with your normal brain, I think a lot of things fall into play. So, and that's exactly what happened.
In fact, we had an event, like, you know, with some of your friends, like, you know, what happens during the treatment is once the gut is cleansing out the physical toxins, a lot of suppressed emotions start coming out. They start surfacing, and we tell you to heal it and release it. You know, take away the fear from that event. Your reaction to that particular event from your past life changes.
Yeah.
Even though the event doesn't change by itself, and that itself shows a shift in the personality. You know, the person becomes less traumatized, less scared, less anxious, and starts becoming a little more bolder, confident, and freer. Right. So we had one of those events as well. But most importantly, I'm glad that you experienced this 8-day treatment despite all the doubts you had about committing to an 8-day plan in the city, not having to travel, not having to eat non-veg, having to sleep early and coming to the clinic for your treatments for 60 minutes and 90 minutes.
Yeah.
We're most impressed with the fact that you committed to the process and you're literally like a walking, talking testimonial of what Ayurveda can do to a human.
I reckon. I think it's very important that everybody tries it. It's a very proactive way of healing yourself. You know, it did wonders to me. I'm definitely going to do it again.
Hey guys, if you like this episode, don't forget to leave a comment below so we can learn how to improve ourselves. Like, subscribe, and definitely share this with your loved ones, your friends, family, and relatives so you can become an influencer of good health in their lives. Until my next episode, here's wishing you unconditional happiness, love, forgiveness, kindness, empathy, compassion in everything that you do. Here's Dr. Dimple Jangra signing off.